You're tuned in to Due North on CFUR 88.7 FM, brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. The following is a news summary presented Monday, May 4th. Starting with the weather, courtesy of Environment Canada, for Prince George, Claylie, Tanay, sunny days are upon us and ahead of us until Friday, May 8th. For the evening of Monday, May 4th, we can look forward to clear skies. There's a northern wind of 20 kilometers an hour becoming light in the evening with a low of +3. On Tuesday, May 5th, sunny skies with a high of 23 degrees, accompanied by a UV index of 6 or higher. Into the nighttime, skies remain clear with a low of +5. On Wednesday, May 6, a mix of sun and cloud is upon us with a high of 22 degrees. Into the nighttime, clear skies continue and a low of +4 is expected. Thursday, May 7, sunny skies and a high of 21 degrees is forecast. Moving into the evening, clear skies remain and a low of +5 is expected. On Friday, May 8, clouds are expected to roll in with a healthy high of 16 degrees. Overnight, the clouds remain with a 30% chance of showers and a low of 6 degrees. Saturday, the 9th of May, the clouds remain with the expected temperature increasing to 19 degrees and moving to a low of +5 in the nighttime, accompanied by clouds. And on Sunday, May 10th, the clouds still remain, but with a high of 19 degrees. The air quality in and around the Prince George area for Monday, May 4th is of extremely good quality, with particulate matter 2.5 microns across or smaller, ranging less than 2 parts per million. With the exception of one monitoring station located in downtown Prince George on the southwest corner of Queensway and 4th Avenue, reading 5 parts per million, which is still really good air quality. I plan to savor that. And according to BC Wildfire Service's interactive map, for the date of Monday, May 4th, 2026, there are 6, potentially 7, active wildfires in the Prince George Fire Center. 2 noted locations just northeast of Moberly Lake are very close to each other, one estimated at 24 hectares in size, one at 5.5 hectares in size. Both are currently designated as being under control and have shrunk from their estimated size reported late last week. The BC Wildfire Service warns, forecasted warmer temperatures and drier conditions in the fire center may contribute to higher risk during burning, so if you're planning on having a fire this weekend, be very careful. The release states that there is a period of increased wildfire risk in early spring called the spring dip, and the spring dip happens every year. Fire bans have been announced for the Prince George Fire Center effective at 12 p.m. Tuesday, May 5th for Category 2 and Category 3 open burning. It's prohibited in the Prince George and Stuart Nechako Forest Districts. As a reminder, that includes Prince George, Robson Valley, and the Van Jam Fire Zones, except areas within municipal boundaries. That region stretches from south of Prince George all the way up to the Yukon border. We'll have to look at municipal announcements for information on fire bans within those specific municipalities, like the city of Prince George proper, for example. But back to the current bans across the Prince George Fire Center. A Category 2 open fire refers to any fire that burns one pile of material not exceeding 2 meters high and 3 meters wide, 2 piles of material each not exceeding 2 meters high and 3 meters wide, stubble or grass over an area less than 0.2 hectares, that's 2,000 square meters. A Category 3 open fire refers to any fire that burns 3 or more piles of material, each not exceeding 2 meters high and 3 meters wide, any pile of material larger than 2 meters high or 3 meters wide, windrows not exceeding 200 meters in length and 15 meters in width, stubble or grass over an area exceeding 0.2 hectares or 2,000 square meters. That prohibition remains in effect until noon Thursday, October 15th, or until the order is rescinded. The following activities and use of the following equipment, materials, and substances are also prohibited. Binary exploding targets, fireworks, as defined in the Fireworks Act of BC, burn barrels or burn cages, controlled air incinerators, air curtain burners, and carbonizers. It ought to be noted that this prohibition, as of now, does not ban Category 1, or campfires. that are a half meter high by a half meter wide or smaller, or the use of cooking stoves that use gas, propane, or briquettes. Before lighting a fire of any size, always check for any BC Wildfire Service open fire prohibitions in your area. Also be sure to check with your local government for any bylaw restrictions in your area. And the BC Wildfire staff, in cooperation with Fraser Lake Fire Department, will be conducting a prescribed burn of up to 11.5 hectares directly east of Fraser Lake. This is in collaboration with the Village of Fraser Lake, Mouse Mountain Elementary School, and the Ministry of Transport and Transit on a planned burn. It'll take place between mid-April and mid-May, depending on suitable conditions, with the intended goal of reducing wildfire risk in an area that's heavily used for recreation, cross-training with Fraser Lake Fire Department, habitat improvement in the target areas, and educational opportunities for Mouse Mountain Elementary School students. When the burn is conducted, smoke will be highly visible from Fraser Lake and surrounding areas, and a motorist traveling along Highway 16 between Fort Fraser and Indaco. Signage will be placed along the roadway to notify motorists. For the latest information on current wildfire activity, prohibitions, restrictions, road closures, and air quality advisories, visit bcwildfire.ca, make use of the BC Wildfire Map, or use the BC Wildfire app on your mobile device.
And now for the news bulletin.
Monday, May 4th marks Emergency Preparedness Week in the city of Prince George. Residents are encouraged to review their household emergency plans this week. Residents are encouraged to sign up for the city's Public Alerting System, or PAS, for area-specific evacuation safety information, particularly relevant for instances like gas leaks, which happened in March. When an emergency happens, all registered contacts in that area will receive texts, voice calls, or emails with public safety notifications. And if you're curious, evacuation zones tend to match garbage collection map zones. The service is free and tied in with the province's alert-ready systems. Again, it's always good to make a plan and pack an emergency kit. Your plan should include safe exits from home and neighborhood, local evacuation zones and meeting places to reunite with family or roommates, designated people to pick up children should you be unavailable, contact persons close by and out of town, health and insurance information, places for your pet to stay, risks in your region, location of your fire extinguisher, water valve, electrical panel, gas valve, and floor drain noted. A full list of recommended supplies for your emergency kit are listed on the city's website. And to get accurate, trustworthy information during an emergency, visit princegeorge.ca/be-ready. And an update on local gasoline prices for Prince George Clay today. Information courtesy of the Prince George Citizen. On Monday, May 4th, prices are trending a little bit downward. On the lower end of the range is 177.9 cents a liter, and on the higher end of the range is 180.9 cents a liter. It's hard to believe those prices are trending downward from last week, but for what it's worth, they are. If you were hoping for a blockbuster concert this summer in Prince George Clay today, well, guess what? At the CN Center on July 5th, Steve Aoki, international superstar, DJ, entertainer, is coming. We had a conversation with Darnell Toth of Toth Entertainment on what it took to book a huge international act like Steve Aoki here in our town. One of the things he cited was that he had to pitch Prince George to the artist team. Here's a preview of that conversation.
What's involved in that? What do you have to do to perk people's ears up and entertain this location seriously in a context like this?
Well, that's it. We have to show we're serious players. We have to show we can bring, when you're dealing with an international superstar like this, their expectations are high. You know, expectations on what's the crowd going to be like, what's the venue like, what's production going to be like. So they lay all these kind of obstacles in front of you, and you have to say, no, in Prince George, we have production companies that are capable of putting on the kind of show you expect. We have a world-class venue that's hosted superstar artists for 30 years. We have a crowd that's passionate and hungry for this kind of entertainment. So it's just like, it's selling Prince George, showing them that, you know, when you, if you Google us, we're just a little town in a dot in the middle of BC, but we can bat at the same level as a major city does, and it's just showing them that we have that capability.
And for a sneak peek of a story we're working on, many different connected but separate organizations are working on food security and food sovereignty here in Prince George and the region. Someone who's been working on this issue since the 90s is local advocate April Otteson. Who is she?
I am a chef. and a gardener. I am a food policy hound. I am a permaculture promoter. I am a dancer and an animal lover.
And if you're wondering what food sovereignty is and maybe why you should care about it, I'm an average person. I got to go get groceries at the grocery store. Perhaps I agree that prices of food and groceries are increasing over my lifetime, but what am I going to do about it? I'm just an average guy. Why do I care about this? Why do I care about food sovereignty in northern BC and Prince George?
If you're food sovereign, then you have food security. If you're food secure, you don't necessarily have food sovereignty.
Gotcha.
And I want to be the boss of me. I don't know about you, but I like being the boss of me. I like eating what I want to eat. I want to put nutritious, beautiful food into my body.
It's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling. The biggest piece is having control over what goes into your body. I've got four pillars of our food system. Is that we want to create a food system that is socially just, it's economically viable, environmentally sound, and above all, humane. So that's the aim of our food charter, the draft food charter that we've created.
Maybe I don't care so much about what goes into my body, but maybe I care more about what comes out of my pocket.
Yes, and that is a big, big, big deal. Canadians are facing persistently high prices, and this is in a retail environment that is dominated by a small number of very powerful large grocery store chains, and we know who they are here. We used to have some independent grocers in Prince George, PG Independent Grocers. So even though these companies, these corporations are reporting the highest profits ever, our grocery prices are going through the roof. And there isn't, you know, they don't need to have these exorbitant prices. So if you don't buy what they're selling, then they don't have power over you. So if you have a more powerful and dominant local food system, then you're not as vulnerable to the vagaries of climate change and poor weather conditions or poor soil. A food charter also talks about, you know, the environmental aspect, about like a lot of the food that ends up in these grocery stores, these global chains, is not harmoniously harvested, and they use a lot of herbicides and pesticides. Sort of the food is beaten out of the soil, basically. And so we're losing soil to this poor kind of farming. And when you produce food yourself, especially when you support a local food system, you know your farmer, you know your rancher, you know how they're producing the food. And then it's not always a problem. The transportation isn't always a problem because we're, you know, transporting large quantities, you know, and it means that it can be as efficient as one little farm truck going back and forth to town, you know, 30 kilometers. But when you are able to source food locally, then you have more control over how the animals are being treated, how the farm workers are being treated, how the food is being treated, how it's being produced.
Ms. Audison, a number of her local colleagues, and a number of you, dear residents of Prince George, Claylie-Tenay, who submitted feedback in the official community plan surveys, or OCP surveys, indicated a desire for the city of Prince George to adopt a food charter. For ideas and developments on that, stay tuned to the Due North Newsroom on CFUR 88.7 FM. If you haven't heard the word, on Friday, March 24th, at the UMBC's Northern Sports Center, it was announced that the Fort St. James-based youth basketball team, the Nakadzli Wuten Trees, were named the hosts of the 2027 JANT Tournament. That's the Junior All-Native Basketball Tournament. It'll be held here on the territory of the Claylie-Tenay, March 21st to 27th, 2027, for the 51st annual tournament. The 50th annual tournament was held on Kwantlen territory in Fort Langley and saw roughly 2,000 athletes over 120 teams. So that's a big wheel coming to town. Tournament director Erica McLean felt there was a special touch that our city could put on the tournament. Here's a snippet from our conversation.
But coming here today and having so many key leaders and partners present and excited to make this happen, it's such a good illustration of what we can do. And I think that's going to be a great story for Gent 2027, is our capacity to work together.
Over at the College of New Caledonia, April 30th marked their fiscal year end. And just prior to that, they announced a balanced budget would be presented. This comes as a surprise to some, as they have cited significant revenue shortfall ahead of this in the multi-millions of dollars. So as you would expect, that means this budget reflects a lot of cuts. And a lot of those cuts are in the form of layoffs. College of New Caledonia President Cindy Heitman made herself available to our questions on April 28th. Here's a preview of our conversation in which she noted the difficulty of making the hard decisions required in order to balance this budget.
I think what's really hard about the situation, especially when you are having to reduce your workforce, these are our friends, these are our colleagues, these are people we see every day in the halls, and it has been a really difficult time for the college right now. At the same time, trying to remind everybody we have to keep going, we need to move forward and position ourselves to be able to grow in the future. So to say it's been difficult, that's one way absolutely to describe it, but for others it has been absolutely heartbreaking as you come into the building on days like this.
You can catch that interview and more on CFUR.ca, frequencynews.ca, and following this news summary on Due North News. Tune in to Due North, 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. weekdays, and 24/7 on CFUR.ca for locally grown, crafted, and curated local news and information. With your host, Ian Gregg, this segment is brought to you in part by the Local Journalism Initiative. Contact the newsroom anytime by emailing newsroom@cfur.ca or by calling 778-693-2387, extension 6. Also, view our content online at frequencynews.ca.